to Wellness Wednesday, a show about health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. This week, a special edition episode.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to Wellness Wednesday here on KYUK. I'm Mary Kate Dolan, and joined in the studio today by Chris O'Hara, who is a public health nurse with the state of Alaska here in Bethel. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
Why don't you start off? Tell me a little bit about the work that you do here in Bethel.
Well, here in Bethel, we are working to keep TB awareness and also treatments and basically trying to find TB in the community and in our local area and in the villages.
Yeah, so Alaska and specifically Southwest Alaska have historically some of the highest rates of TB in the state and in the country. I remember that there was a really big spike in diagnoses following the first 2 years of the COVID pandemic. And if I remember correctly, I think a lot of that was probably because of a lot of diagnoses happening just with people returning back to hospitals or with testing resuming to normal post-pandemic. And it seems that that number went down a little bit in 2023. But where are we at currently? What is the YK Delta seeing in terms of tuberculosis cases?
Tuberculosis cases in, like you say, in the western region of Alaska and this area in particular basically are holding steady. It's almost the never-ending case. You're right, we did see surges, you know, with COVID and then after COVID. TB being a bacterial disease, it affects primarily the lungs, but it's a very slow-growing bacterium, and we treat it with antibiotics. Part of the problem with the COVID era was everyone was all packed in. They were all at home, close quarters, and because it is slow going, growing, once people started getting out again, they're testing again, you know, and then again with testing, we were all focused on COVID. So, what can one say? I mean, it's just TB has been around since before the pyramids. They found it in mummies.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have TB forever. Honestly, the best we can do, I feel, is control, because worldwide it's epidemic,
mm-hmm.
And in our area it's extremely epidemic. Being here in this region is a risk factor.
Mm-hmm.
So
TB is a disease that I think I know a lot of people who don't live in these areas where it is still so prevalent kind of think that it has come and gone. It is no longer. It is not something that impacts their life. It is not something anywhere close to them. But you have regions like Western Alaska, like many other places where people are living in close quarters, where it remains so high and it's such a risk for the people who live here, and especially disproportionately Alaska Natives.
Yes.
Absolutely. Why would you say, I know this might be a bit of a big question, but why would you say that it continues to persist here when in so many other parts of the world, more wealthy, more resourced parts of the world, people kind of think it has just disappeared?
There's a lot of stigma around tuberculosis. There always has been. I think there always will be. That stigma, of course, in the Native population is amplified by the history. Before the revelations of antibiotic treatments, there really wasn't a good treatment. Antibiotics have revolutionized medical history, especially TB. So, as far as, you know, there's a mistrust built in with the native populations, with the government, you know, with the medical system. That hasn't gone away. We try to educate, but it's a difficult task, and it's an ongoing task, and that's just the way it's always going to be.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting to hear your perspective that TB will just always be with us, which I understand completely because I know it's about catching it and preventing it, and eventually, hopefully someday, ideally, that number of cases will go down to zero, and then the spread will stop.
Yes.
Why do you feel that it's something that will just continue, that we'll need to be able to control and keep an eye on, rather than, I know a lot of the like worldwide movements, like World TB Day, it's a lot of like, we can end TB.
Mm-hmm.
Why is your perspective a little bit different?
TB runs almost on a gamut. You have LTBI, which is a latent tuberculosis infection, and then we have active TB disease. So it's all TB. When you have latent TB, you have no symptoms. Your body has actually worked to wall it off, say, assuming it's in your lungs, which most of the time it is in your lungs. So you have the infection. Your body is producing antibodies against it. We can test. We can see that you have it. But you don't have symptoms. People don't think they're sick. And it's hard to get people to do a treatment if they don't think they're sick. That's number one. The second, the treatment is comparatively long. Most people associate antibiotics, you know, you take a 7 to 10 day course, maybe 14. Well, with latent tuberculosis, it's 4 months, typically. They are coming up with new treatment regimens that are shorter, but they are more expensive. So that's always going to come into play. If you have TB disease, say your LTBI isn't caught and it progresses into active TB, or they never know you have latent TB, and then you start having symptoms, and okay, you have active TB. Treatment is 6 months, 9 months. It can go a year to take antibiotics, any drug, for that long is a really difficult challenge. And the other big challenge is it's not just one antibiotic. You're taking anywhere from one drug if it's latent TB or more. And if it's active TB, you're taking anywhere from 2 to 5. So that's a lot of drugs to take 5 to 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, even the people with the best intentions have a really difficult time doing that. Everyone's gung-ho in the first month, maybe two, but it's human nature. We're over it. We're done. Don't want to do it. We can find a lot of excuses. But because it's such a serious disease, especially when it affects people who are older or younger, it's got to be treated. So the strategy is to have nurses and or case managers watch people actually take their drugs 5 days a week. And that is also invasive for people. But it's truly the only way we can know that, A, people are doing their drugs, and B, that they're not having side effects from these drugs. Because antibiotics, just like any drug, can have side effects.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just so many challenges with tuberculosis,
mm-hmm.
whether it's the disease itself, the treatment, and from a societal perspective.
Yeah. With that treatment regimen, it needs to be pretty consistent, right? Like, is it like same time every day kind of deal?
That's the ideal, but that's not real world.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So if we can get it same time daily, awesome. But basically, we want you to take your drugs every day at least. or as it's prescribed. There are some regimens that can be taken once a week, maybe twice a week. Again, there's a lot of different ways to approach it. It's a conversation you need to have with your provider to see what your options are. But the mainstay is drugs every week.
Yeah. Just not always the most
fun time. No, it's not. And even, you know, I've heard of cases where even people who have medical backgrounds can't keep up with the regimen.
Yeah.
We just, I don't want to say babysit, but we are working with people to help them through this process. You know, it's, our goal is to get it through, but be as unobtrusive as possible, because we know people have issues. It's real life.
Yeah. I mean, I have medications that I've been taking, have been supposed to be taking every day for, like, a while now, and I forget to take it every so often. It's just, it's just a fact of life.
It is. And the other thing with antibiotics, if they aren't taken correctly, then you end up with antibiotic resistance, which creates a whole nother realm of problems, because when you have tuberculosis that is drug resistant, then you have fewer drug options. And again, the drugs you do have to try get more expensive. The good news is, as far as costs, typically most states that I'm aware of absorb these costs. You know, we are providing these drugs for the patients. Because that's, again, how seriously this disease is taken. You know, we don't want finances to be a barrier to treatment in this case.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you kind of build in that, the trust building of it all as you are working with patients, as you are testing and diagnosing and case managing? How is building trust a part of that process?
That is an awesome question, and that's super important. We have to build a relationship, because this isn't a, you walk in the office and you leave, and, you know, we're working with these people for months on end, and our goal is to work with them where they're at and meet their issues, meet their needs. So if we don't have that trust, it really makes it difficult, not only for them and us, but in the long run, you know, if people don't take the meds, again, they're not going to get treated. And, you know, people forget TB does kill. And it's not a great way to die. It's really not. And unfortunately, when people who are very young, you know, children, babies get it, the many times what they get in active disease can be very virulent, very quick. And again, you know, it's not a good way to die.
Let's take a step back really quickly just to better define some of these terms. Specifically, latent versus active TB. One of the questions that I have is, when someone has latent TB, when they're not showing symptoms, when they have the bacterium inside of them but nothing is showing, are they infectious? Can that be spread, or is it only once it progresses to active TB? And what does that mean when it progresses?
If they have latent TB, they are not infectious. So that's the good news. And it is possible that, say, the body can clear the infection. It's possible. But you have basically an infection sitting in your body, and it can become active due to stress. It can become active due to, if you're very old, your immune system is less able to cope. If you have any immune system issues, essentially, if you have latent tuberculosis, within 2 years, you have the highest chance of it activating all the way into active TB. That's the greatest chance at that point. The point of treating latent TB is to prevent it from ever becoming active, simply because the treatment is less drugs, less time. It's better for the patient or the client to get it dealt with at that point. The other issue is, even though everyone associates active tuberculosis with the symptoms of, you know, coughing up blood and losing tremendous amounts of weight and, you know, being very weak, that's all the classic symptoms. You can have active TB and no symptoms, which is difficult for people to understand sometimes, because they're like, I feel fine. Mm-hmm. And that's true, they feel fine. But the problem is, they're now spreading it in the community, to their families, to their coworkers. So that's why it's so important to catch it at the latent point, and which is why we do go out and test actively in the communities and in the schools. And you'll see that not only in Alaska, you see that across the nation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell me a bit more about that screening process. How do you encourage people who, like you said, don't show any symptoms and are in that mindset of, I'm not sick, I don't need to test, I don't need to go get my arm pricked. How do you encourage that, and how do you really try to cast that net to catch everyone?
A lot of it is education. If we can educate when they're young,
mm-hmm.
you know, and talk to the kids and younger people, it's like, this is a easy process. It's actually not that painful to, you know, get the TB test. Like I say, it's a little skin prick. But it's just a matter of, I don't know, education. I mean, mm-hmm. we're doing our own public service messages in a sense. We have to get out there, talk to people. A lot of times it's on an individual basis because, like you say, they don't believe us. They don't want it done. They don't feel sick. And, you know, it's not uncommon for people to have it in their family, and they still don't want to be tested
mm-hmm.
because it's like stigma. And it's kind of the, if I don't get tested, I don't know, therefore I don't have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ignorance is bliss.
Yeah. With that stigma, I mean, the history of tuberculosis is really interesting. I mean, like, way back when, people thought that TB was vampires.
Yes.
and then you obviously have this really hurtful, or maybe not hurtful is the right word, but this history that caused a lot of hurt to people, of being sent away from families to sanatoriums, mm-hmm. to isolation, and that, I think, still really persists in how we view it as, like, this is something that will cast you away from others and mm-hmm. something that will isolate you. And how do we combat that? Especially, I mean, talking about, like, family members who have it and people still don't want to get tested. Many people in our region are living in close quarters with mm-hmm. many members of their family unit.
Yes.
How do we combat that stigma, but also allow people to remain in these close-knit settings that are so important to them while treating this disease correctly?
It's a challenge. There's no one set answer. Every case is different. You know, it still comes back to education, but there are things we can offer and at least advise. Even being in close quarters, if we have good ventilation in the home, that helps a lot. Air filters can be a big help, you know, with the HEPA filters. opening windows. I know in the native culture, you know, coughing and spitting and clearing is common. If that could be done outside, and I know, you know, from a cultural standpoint, it's no big deal. But things like that do tend to spread tuberculosis because mm-hmm. as a respiratory issue, when we cough, when we smoke even, if they're singing, and just if you are talking to someone in close quarters on a regular basis, you're spreading the disease, mm-hmm. which is why the circulation in the home is such an important factor. It's a little thing, you know, but it's sometimes it's the small things we try for. We're not going to change things overnight. Mm-hmm. We're just not. And you're right. In the old days, we did send people away, not only in Alaska. I mean, it just, we had no idea how to treat it.
Mm-hmm.
We just knew that people needed to be away. And the only way to do that, unfortunately, was ideas that, you know, they had to be away completely. And that's really not true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of great things happened with some of the research they did as far as, like I say, just good circulation in the home. We're not going to stop people from having multi-generational families and, you know, many people in a home. That's what makes people happy, and that's what they know, and that's their culture.
Mm-hmm.
But we can try to make small changes to try to lessen the impact.
Mm-hmm. I remember my mom telling me, so I think it was when my mom was growing up, my grandmother had tuberculosis and was sent away for a while. Mm-hmm. And luckily, like, I think she was able to receive treatment and she became well again and was able to, like, rejoin the family unit. But when I was growing up, she passed away when I was 4, but in those 4 years that I was there with her, I was her little buddy.
Awesome.
And my mom told me once, she was like, she was so scared of getting you sick somehow, like that it would somehow come back, that it would affect you. And so it's definitely, it's, there's the stigma of people outside of the disease, but then I think there's also a lot of self-stigma and a lot of that worry that mm-hmm. continues and impacts you for years after maybe you've completed treatment successfully.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's true. TB has had such an impact, especially in Alaska, with everyone as far as the culture and, you know, I can't even imagine losing family members you know are at such a distance, but you can't see them.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're very young, you don't understand. You just don't. But at least things have changed for the better.
Mm-hmm.
And we can only move forward mm-hmm. at this point and try to keep levels down. But that only comes with testing
mm-hmm.
and successful treatment.
Yeah. We have just a few minutes left today, so I want to move into that information on testing and treatment specifically for people here in Bethel. What do here in Bethel or across the YK Delta or the Southwest or Western region, mm-hmm. what do people need to know about getting tested, where and when it's available to them, and starting a treatment regimen if it's applicable to them? Hard word.
Right. As far as testing, they can, if they're here in Bethel, they can, of course, come to the Public Health Center, and we can do what's called a TST, which is the skin test. The only caveat is, you know, once we apply the test, they need to be able to come back in the next 2 to 3 days so that we can actually read it. Of course, YK is an awesome source. They can also provide testing. Anyone in the villages at their local clinics can call, make an appointment, and they can also get tested. But the important thing is, once you're tested, go back and get it read.
Mm-hmm.
it's kind of, you know, we have that. People get tested and then they'll come back. The other option, especially at YK, and it said at some of the sub-regional clinics in the villages, is they can get a test called an IGRA, I-G-R-A, which is a blood test. They draw blood, and people do not need to come back, so they can just run the test off the blood and know the results from that. And then once that is read, we can go from there as far as, you know, appropriate treatments. People who have been treated in the past should no longer actually get that test ever again in their life, because they will always test positive, whether they get TB again or not, because, yes, you can get TB again. It's not a one-time, necessarily. So the way we do that is we do what's called sputa testing, where we get samples where people spit into tubes, and we test that for the bacterium. And then also we do screening tests. We're asking symptoms, cough, extended cough, 3 weeks, coughing up blood, weight loss, unintended, breathlessness, unexplained fevers, night sweats. And when I say night sweats, I'm talking about drenching night sweats, not just because you turned up the heat and have the blankets on. So there are options out there. And I think that brings up a really important point, though. Once you've had TB, you should be screened at least yearly, especially if you are in an endemic area like Western Alaska or Alaska in general. Just to check. And there are many workplaces that actually do require that.
Yeah, where can someone, or how can someone get in contact with public health if they want to schedule a test or screen for symptoms, or
they can just call our office, which, of course, I can't tell you their number at this very moment.
That's okay.
Just give us a call at the clinic, and
it's the public health building right next to the post office.
Exactly, the big red roof on it. We are happy to help.
Yeah. Do you have any closing thoughts or sentiments to share?
Yeah. TB is here. It's among us. It's not something to fear. You know, it's treatable. And, you know, it's with treatment, you're protecting yourself, your family, and your community.
Yeah. Thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you. I enjoyed my time.
Nice. That was Chris O'Hara, public health nurse with the state of Alaska here in Bethel, speaking with me about tuberculosis in our communities.
Thank you for listening to Wellness Wednesday, a show about health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Listen online at kyuk.org or tune in live every Wednesday at 10 a.m. right here on KYUK.